I invite you to turn with me tonight to the Gospel by John, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we shall read the first 30 verses, beginning at verse 1. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and he's mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, it is indeed a joy to realize that we are secure in thy dear Son, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for the mystery of godliness. We praise you, O God, that the Lord Jesus could say, I and my Father are one. And we rejoice in the knowledge that this gives us in relation to the salvation that we possess in thee, from thee, and blessed by thee to us. And we pray, our Father, that as we're together tonight, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will bring assurance to our souls, salvation to any who may be outside the ark of safety. And may we have an understanding of thy purposes in grace, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to address the subject tonight of identifying God's sheep. How do you know who belongs to the Lord? This chapter is one of the greatest chapters in the Word of God that teaches what we call the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer, or what is called by many the perseverance of the saints. Now, I prefer the expression the perseverance of the saints because of what it says, especially in verse 27, concerning the sheep following the Lord. Now, verses 27 through 30 are often cited to teach these truths, and rightly so. But verses 27 through 30 are basically a capsule of the other teaching of John chapter 10. To really grasp what he said in verses 27 through 30, you have to understand what he teaches in the first 26 verses. The events of John 10, this great discourse of our Lord on the Good Shepherd, is based upon the happenings in chapter 9. In chapter 9 of John 10, or in chapter 9 of John, our Lord heals a blind man, a man who is blind from birth. He is now over 40 years of age, and our Lord heals him. The Pharisees dispute what was quite evident in front of them. They cast the man out of the synagogue for his clear testimony. Our Lord finds him, tells him who he is, and the man worships the Lord Jesus. Now, based on those events in John chapter 9, our Lord addresses his own and speaks of his own in John chapter 10. Now, this 10th chapter of John gives us lessons which are most important. First of all, you have lessons here concerning the shepherd and his ministry. There is no other passage in the Word of God that outlines, like it does here, the ministry of the shepherd, unless you look at it in a contrasting way and study Ezekiel chapter 34, where our Lord accuses the shepherds of Israel as being false shepherds. And we may do that next week. I'm not sure yet. But nevertheless, it's a good contrast between John chapter 10 and Ezekiel 34. But in this chapter, there's a second great theme. And the second great theme is a theme of the sheep and their relationship to the shepherd. Let me just say a few things about them. And then we think about understanding and identifying the sheep of God. We notice that the sheep of God are a people who have been called by God. And we have that in verse 3. In verse 3, we read, "He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." That's the first thing that he's mentioned concerning the sheep in this chapter and their relationship to the shepherd. They are called by God. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, them he also called." He calleth his own sheep by name and leads them out. Two great illustrations of this. When Adam sinned, he hid among the trees of the garden, Genesis chapter 3. He hid himself. Our Lord's response to that was, "Adam, where art thou? He calls his own sheep by name. Mary, in John chapter 20, on resurrection morning, confused over where the body of the Lord Jesus lay, he said to her, Mary. Upon mentioning her name, she immediately responded, my sheep hear my voice. So you see, what our Lord says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. There's a reason for it. You see, he calls his own sheep by name. They are the sheep of God, are a people called by God. Furthermore, in verse 4, he puts forth his sheep, and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Once we have been called by God, and that call by God is our call to salvation, we know the voice of the shepherd. It's impossible to be one of God's sheep and not know his voice. We know the voice of the shepherd. Furthermore, verse 5, there's something the sheep of God do not know. They know not the voice of strangers. In other words, that call of God, of his sheep, is so clear and distinct, it separates them from others. They know not the voice of strangers. Someone said to me today, do you know what the two classes of people were in the Mayflower? And they were on the Mayflower, when the Mayflower ship sailed from Holland to the United States, they listed them as saints and strangers. That was their distinction. And, you know, and the person added the second question. Do you know how many saints there were? There were 110 on the ship. 35. That's what this person told me. Now then, when you think of that, a stranger they will not follow. They know not the voice of strangers. Then when you get down to verse 8, he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. That is a verse we'll look at later, but it has reference to the false shepherds of Israel. They were thieves and they were robbers, but the sheep were apart from them. Furthermore, when you get down to verse 12, we have the sheep are scattered because of the activity of the hireling. He didn't care for the sheep and the wolf who came. He scattered the sheep. But when you get to verse 14, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. He knows every one of his own. He knows them. And he says, I am known of mine. In other words, the sheep of God, having been called by God, know God. And of course, then in verse 16, it's one of those sweet verses. He says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. This fold here is Judaism. He had come into Judaism, and he had called his sheep out of Judaism. But he had other sheep, and you and I are those other sheep from among the Gentiles, but he adds so sweetly here, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And when you study the second chapter of Ephesians, we learn that through the work of the cross of Calvary, God has broken down the middle wall of partition that separated Jew and Gentile in their approach to God. And he has made of two, one new man. There's one fold and one shepherd. So when our Lord speaks in verse 15, of giving his life for the sheep. He has a purpose in it of making one body. What a beautiful picture our Lord prophetically gives of that work and ministry that he's going to perform in this blessed age of the church. Now, we not only have in this passage the shepherd and his ministry, but we have the sheep and their relationship to the shepherd, as we just noted. Then we have the sheep and their relationship to the stranger. You see, and that we had in verse 5, we looked at it. They will flee from the stranger. They don't know his voice. My sheep know not the voice of strangers. And then we have the sheep and their relationship with the hireling. And you have that down in verse 12. It says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. The sheep don't belong to the hireling. The sheep belong to the man who has the heart of the shepherd, not the hireling. The hireling is a man who sees the wolf coming. And you know what we mean by the wolf at the door. The hireling, he can be bought. There's a price tag on the hireling. He can be bought. And when he sees that the wolf is coming, he leaves the sheep. And the wolf scatters the sheep. The wolf catches them. And I like to think of them there as being the hirelings. The wolf catches the hirelings, but in the process, the sheep are scattered. And why does the hireling flee? He flees because he is an hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. So we have the teaching of the wolf, the sheep, and the hireling. Now here in John chapter 10, while we have the eternal safety or the eternal security of God's people presented in this chapter, we also have in this chapter the great doctrines upon which the eternal security or the perseverance of the saints rests. It rests upon a solid foundation. Now, here in John chapter 10, we have first of all the shepherd and his ministry. Our Lord describes himself as the door in two different verses, in verse 7 and in verse 9. And then in verse 1, he speaks of the door of the sheepfold. So in reality, in John chapter 10, you have three doors. And each door is different. Each door in John chapter 10 is a different door. The one in John, it has a different purpose. In John 10:1, you have the door of the sheepfold. In John chapter, in verse 7, Christ said, I am the door of the sheep. And then in John, in verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Here he is, the door of salvation. And we must distinguish between these doors if we're going to appreciate the glorious teaching of what our Lord came to do in his redeeming work and the relationship of the sheep of God to the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a door into the sheepfold of chapter 10, verse 1. The sheepfold here is not heaven. When he says, verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The sheepfold is not heaven, for thieves and robbers can't climb into it. So it's not heaven. Furthermore, the sheepfold is not the church. You see, for Christ does not lead his sheep out of the church. When once we're in the church, we're in forever. We have been baptized by the Spirit of God into one body. This is glorious truth. We have been baptized into one body. It is impossible to get out of the church. I was sitting with a group of preachers one day, and some of their wives, and a discussion came up about a certain thing, and which we do not practice here, which I will not tell you what it was, and I was being criticized because we don't. And of course, this one woman said, "Why can't you do it outside the church?" I said, "Could you tell me how to get out of the church? Could you tell me how to..." My friend David Morris was sitting next to me. I thought he'd take off. He rejoiced. He said, "Amen, brother." You see, we need to have our thinking taps on when we approach the Word of God. We are never outside the church. We may be outside of a church building, but this building is not the church. The church of Jesus Christ is made up of the sheep of God, called by God, cleansed by God, bought by the blood of Calvary's cross, secured by God. Now, so the sheepfold is not heaven. The sheepfold is not the church. The sheepfold in this passage, friends, is Judaism. It is Judaism. The blind beggar. This is why you cannot grasp the opening verses here unless you have an idea of the teaching of John 9. It immediately follows John 9. The blind beggar of chapter 9 is one of Christ's sheep who heard his voice. After the Lord gave him sight, the Pharisees became jealous and they cast him out of the synagogue. Our Lord found him. He revealed himself to him. He said, "I am the Son of God." And he worshipped him. And our Lord led him out of Judaism. You see, there's a great contrast here in this passage between the true shepherd and the false. Israel, Judaism, had multitudes of false shepherds. The Pharisees were false shepherds. The Sadducees, the leaders of Israel, were false shepherds. They were leaders, but they were false. Christ presented himself to Israel in a lawful manner. He presented himself in strict accord to the Old Testament scriptures. That's why he says in verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door." Our Lord didn't come sneaking into Israel, into Judaism, in any other way but that which was prescribed in the Old Testament scriptures. So what is written concerning him continuously throughout the gospel accounts, we read that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled. He entered by the door. And he said to him, "The porter openeth." When you enter by the door, the porter openeth. Now, let me describe a sheepfold in Eastern lands. A sheepfold in Eastern lands was a place where many shepherds brought their sheep. And into one common fold they brought them. It was an enclosure, probably, and most often, of rocks. But there was one place of entrance. And then one of the shepherds, whose turn it was to keep watch over the sheep, placed himself at the very door of the entrance into this enclosure. And he took care of all the shepherd's sheep for the night. He became the protection of the sheep. In the morning, the various shepherds came and they called their sheep the sheep knew their shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name. And there you have a picture of a sheepfold in the days of our Lord. Now the porter was the one who watched for the shepherd, and he presented him to the sheep. And our Lord says, he that entereth not by the door is a thief and a robber. For the porter presents the shepherd to the sheep. And the question could logically be asked, who's the porter? Well, let me give you a twofold answer. Number one, he was John the Baptist. John the Baptist presented Christ to Israel. I believe that this passage has a direct reference to John the Baptist. John formally introduced our Lord Jesus to the nation. John chapter 1 and verse 31, we read that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing. My purpose in baptizing is that he, Christ, might be made manifest to Israel. But there's a wider sense in this thought of the porter. The Spirit of God. To him, the porter openeth. Now, three things mark the genuine shepherd. Three things. Number one, the genuine shepherd entered by the door into the sheepfold. Christ came by the road of the Old Testament prophecy that marked him out. He was of the tribe of Judah. He was born in Bethlehem. He was of the seed of David. He was a son of Abraham. Everything the Old Testament scriptures said of Christ marked him out. And John the Baptist could say, this is the one that Abraham spoke of in Genesis chapter 22. God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Furthermore, the second thing that he's spoken of him here is a porter opened to him. John the Baptist presented Christ to Israel. And when John, in his baptizing work, baptized the Savior, God the Father answered, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit of God descended from heaven and abode upon him. Now, the third mark of the shepherd is this. He proved himself by the sheep, recognizing and responding to his voice. The sheep of God respond to the voice of the shepherd. This identifies God's sheep. When a shepherd came to the sheepfold, he laid down his rod, or he held his rod at the level of the sheep. And as the sheep came, he took his own sheep through. And God says of Israel in the coming day, in the prophecy of Ezekiel, he said, I'm going to cause them to come underneath the rod, to pass under the rod, and I'm going to purge out the rebels. And it speaks of Israel in the coming day, when God deals with them in what we know of as the Great Tribulation. And he purifies Israel and prepares them for the second advent. And their acknowledgement of our Lord as their Messiah. He says, I'm going to cause them to pass under the rod. And to pass under the rod means they're recognized as the sheep of God. And you see, we recognize ourselves as the sheep of God because we have been called by God. May I use another term? We have been effectually called by God. Called effectually by God. Now, the Pharisees, on the other hand, they resisted as thieves and robbers by attacking the sheep. When one acknowledged Christ as the Messiah in the New Testament, they who claimed to be the shepherds in Israel attacked the sheep. That's what they did to the poor blind man whom our Lord healed in John chapter 9. They attacked him. And the thieves and robbers, that's why our Lord says, he that climbeth up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. The poor blind beggar in John chapter 10 was a sample of the flock. He refused the voice of strangers. He would not listen to the scribes and the Pharisees in John 9. He refused their voice, for he had heard the voice of the great and the good shepherd of the sheep. And we who, by the grace of God, in this age, these other sheep whom he has called, we have heard his voice. We used to sing a chorus, "Oh, I love to hear his voice, saying, you belong to me. You are not your own with a price you're bought, and you're mine eternally." Oh, what a blessing. You see, we know his voice. The blind beggar was an example of the flock of God. He refused the voice of strangers. He recognized the voice of the shepherd. He was drawn. He found salvation. He found security. He found sustenance. And he worshiped the Son of God. He worshiped him. Now, our Lord began his ministry inside the fold of Judaism. It was there that the Jewish sheep were that he was going to call. He called Zacchaeus. He said, he is indeed a son of Abraham. That's what he said when Zacchaeus came down. He called Philip. He called the blind beggar. He called Matthew Levi. He said to him, follow me. And he took him from the tax collecting table and he became a disciple of the Savior. He found Peter and John by the lake and he called them and they left their nets and followed him. That's why he entered the sheepfold of Judaism. He entered that sheepfold of Judaism in order that he might call his own sheep who were there. Now, that brings us to the second door, verses 7 and 8. In verses 7 and 8, we have a different door. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The door of the sheepfold was a divinely appointed way by which Christ entered Judaism. But the door of the sheep here is Christ himself, by which the people of Israel, the called out of Judaism, left Judaism. Our Lord did not come to restore Judaism. Our Lord came to lead these people out of it. That's why he came. He came to lead his people out of Judaism. It's an amazing thing, but let me say this. The sign over this door in John 10:7 says exit. It doesn't say entrance. It says exit. This is the way to life. This is the way out of Judaism. And Christ said, I'm the door. I'm the door of the sheep. You have to come out of Judaism, is what he is really saying to the people there. Judaism is dead. Judaism is about. It is finished. It is going to give way to a new order. Now, in verse 8, after he says, I'm the door, in verse 8 he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Not a word all, and you have to grasp this one. That word all in verse 8 is not to be taken in an absolute sense. Our Lord was speaking of the false shepherds. He was contrasting himself to the false shepherds of Judaism. Why? Well, three reasons, really. The false shepherds occupied a position they had no right to occupy. They weren't true shepherds. They were false. They were strangers. They were hirelings. Second, they exerted authority that did not justly belong to them. They tried to exercise an authority on the blind man that they had no right to exercise. And all when you look at John chapter 9 and you see the character of the thieves and the robbers, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and you contrast that to the character of the Savior, the true shepherd, what a difference. And then third, they demanded a submission to which they could not establish a valid claim. He says, all that ever came before me is a thief and a robber. Now why would our Lord use the both terms, thieves and robbers? Is there a difference between a thief and a robber? Yes, there is. A thief comes by stealth. A robber is one who uses violence. So the scribes and the Pharisees of Judaism, they not only came by stealth, but they would resort to violence if it served their end. But look at verse 9. Here's another door. Here's another door. Here's the door of salvation. I love this door. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Now you can't enter this door apart from the person of Christ. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. This is a door into the presence of God. But I'm defiled. I'm condemned. How can I draw near? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who one time were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You're brought near by the blood of Christ. I am the door, he says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Not a door. That's an easy entrance, isn't it? It only takes one step to go through a door. Oh, how simple our Lord made it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's a businessman in this city that I had witnessed to many times. And I witnessed to him, and I don't know if I had done any good or not. But he always had a respect for me. And we often talked together. And he was dying of cancer. Another businessman who knows me and I know him, he says he's an agnostic and a hedonist. No time for the things of God, but the time came that his friend was dying and he came to me and he said, I happen to be going away. I don't know if it was one of the times I was going to Bermuda or where I was going, but it was going to be gone for a while. He said to me, I don't believe this other person will be living when you get back. He said, I don't know who else to ask to go to see him. Would you go see him? I said, I can't today. My schedule's too full, but I'll go tomorrow. I'll go visit him tomorrow afternoon. Well, when I got to his home, he had a private nurse. He was asleep. I couldn't see him. And while I was there, this other man came. And because he was well known to the nurse, she let us go back into the man's room. I just stood there. You often wonder, do people listen to your witness? I couldn't say anything. He was asleep. You don't wake people when they're in that condition. So we left, and we went to a restaurant and got a cup of coffee together. And this man who has no time for the things of God, he turned to me and he said, you know, he's like me, he's not ready to go. Who told that agnostic he's not ready to go? The witness is getting inside. I realized that. He said, Phil, do you think you could go out tonight to see him? I said, I already planned to. And when I got there that night, he was awake. He recognized me. And the last thing I said to him, I used this verse right here. I'll never forget this verse because of it. It's so simple. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me. By me. I'm the entrance into the presence of God. There isn't any other way. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And then he shall go in and out and find pasture. He comes in to worship, and he goes out to witness. Oh, what a blessed passage this is. One door. Isn't it amazing? Nobody needs to know where the place of safety, wonder where is the place of safety. They don't need to wonder. How many doors did the ark have? The ark of Noah. Just one. Just one. There's only safety one place in the ark of Noah. How many ways of entrance was there into the tabernacle to worship God? Just one. When you know something of the teaching of the book of Exodus, that tabernacle had a courtyard, and there was a 7.5 at least. Maybe, no, it was more than that. It was a 9.5-foot fence. 9.5-foot fence all around it, making an enclosure. There's a door of entrance, only one way in. Our Lord says concerning fellowship with himself, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, I'm the door into the sheepfold. He shall go in and out. There's liberty. A gracious provision is made for nourishment. He shall find pasture. You know, when we think of this, do you ever study the gates of Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 3 talks about the sheep gate. Do you want to know something about it? It's the only gate that's mentioned with no locks and no bars. Isn't that a precious thought? The only one mentioned, check it. The only one mentioned, no locks and no bars. Have you been called by God? My sheep hear my voice. You see, when we come to John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30, and he says those precious things concerning our relationship to him and our security in him, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Well, because the sheep of God have heard the shepherd's voice. They know the shepherd's voice. They know the shepherd. And they have been sustained by the shepherd all their pilgrim journey. Identifying the sheep. Well, there's a lot more in this chapter. We'll probably look at it a little further as we seek more identification.